Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to another Halloween episode. We've got another Masters of Horror retrospective, and I am Daniel Shine, of course, your most lovable host, joined as always by Todd the Great Pumpkin, Loya.
Why does he always give me a nickname?
That's just the thing now?
Because he likes you.
It's the thing. It's going to be the thing forever.
I'm going back to adventure, Dan. Now you're going to push me the other way. You're going to find the hat on fucked up people again.
Well, that's fucked up. All right. Well, I guess that means hi in asshole. Pugs Dread.
Namaste.
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
All right. Well, so we're here to talk more Masters of Horror. We've only got one more after this. We blazed through this this series. I hope you guys obviously go back and listen to all the other ones. It's been a blast revisiting these. Some episodes played better than they did before. Some not as much. So it's been fun. We'll see where we stand on these three from season two. And we're going to kick it off with show creator Mick Garris's season two entry, Valerie on the Stairs. In this one, a house for unpublished writers to live in while they continue to pile up rejection letters is haunted by more than just the specter of failure. There is a ghost of a beautiful woman stalking the halls. All right. Valerie under the Stairs. This one is not the best. Mick Garris he certainly didn't pick the best scripts. It's not all bad, though. We've got Christopher Lloyd, who's...
I mean, isn't awesome. This a story by Clive Barker?
It is, which is weird, because I love Clive Barker, but it
But it's told by Mick Garris. So.
It's told by Mick Garris. There you go. But, I mean, it's not horrible. This just feels like a forgettable episode of any like horror series. It's the one you don't remember.
It finds its way like halfway through, but
yeah, it does.
I see where you're coming from.
It's watchable, but it's very forgettable. I mean, you've got Tony Todd as a fucking demon. I mean, that's pretty badass. You've got Christopher Lloyd doing his thing. There's not a whole lot to the story, though. But I don't know, Kruger. First time watch. What did you think of Valerie on the Stairs?
Yeah, so I was pretty intrigued by this one. I was like, story by Clive Barker, Tony Todd's playing a demon. But yeah, this one was okay. The acting I thought was a little bit bland at times. Like, I thought the lead, Tyrone Letso, maybe I massacred that name, but I didn't think he was really particularly that good. But I did like that stoner dude, Bruce. I loved his character and his dialogue. I wanted to hang out with that dude for sure. Christopher Lloyd in it, nobody's talked about yet. I thought it was cool. Christopher Lloyd, and, something horror. I haven't really, watched that many of his movies, but I do know him from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. So, seeing the mad scientist, go a little bit crazy was cool. Demon Tony Todd was okay. I liked the design, right? But there's this... a thing, and I don't know if you guys caught it, where his fucking fingers looked goddamn awful. Like, they, weren't even, meshed in right. Like, they weren't – it literally looked like he was wearing, those Halloween fingers. And it looked terrible. But I did like the rest of the design. I liked the, little, bulb things on his head. And he kind of reminded me of Wishmaster, the Jin.
Yeah.
The gore and kills, though, I thought were very, very fucking good. Like, Tony Todd murders a couple motherfuckers really, really brutally in this, and the gore looked fantastic. Let me just, side note, but a little bit of a critique. I didn't like the boobs in this movie. They were kind of gross.
But, lackluster.
Overall, it's a solid addition. I think it's a better... the better of the two Mick Garris episodes, but I think there was definitely some to be desired.
What did you think, Pugs?
I'm going to skip right to the part I like, because the first half is kind of whack. But when we finally see Tony Todd, and he looks like the Djinn, straight from the gym through Nightbreed. Like, he looked like he'd hang out with those guys. he was fucking rad. So I was having fun with him. Everything up to that fucking was whack as fuck. Like, it's a pretty sad, not the story sad, but I had a sad time. I'm like, it's Clive Barker and Tony Todd reuniting for a story. I should be all about this.
It's not Clive's failure, though.
No, honestly, it's not really even a failure because it's fine. It's not like a big piece of shit. It's just weak for the series because, like, everyone else is kicking ass and Mick Garris is over here trying to hold his own. But, like, you know, he's good. He's just not great. Yeah, just like this movie. It's good, not great. I hated the fucking ending, though. When the pages start flying off. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was whack as fuck.
In a weird sort of way, I don't know if this one could have been saved by a little more backstory. Maybe you would have cared a little bit more about the leads. But, I mean, there's some nudity. There's a couple good kills. It passes by just fine. I even like this one, I could barely remember it. Even as I was watching it, it's like, okay, I remember Tony Todd. It came back a little bit, but it's just forgettable. But fine. I agree. It's the better of Mick Garris's entries by far. What say you, Todd?
Yeah, not my favorite of the series at all, but best compliment you've all already nailed. It's better than his other one.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? I think I like chocolate more.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's the first one. I flipped because I like chocolate. Which one am I thinking of then?
Pugs just wanted to see Elliot from E.T. get fucked.
Yeah. See, I'm
Atta boy.
Okay. Well, that's not the one I was thinking of, so I disagree. I do like chocolate. All right. Well,
if you want to see Elliot get weird, watch Gerald's Game.
Yeah. All right. So, let's go ahead and rate it. For me, it's a 2.5. It's fine. There's nothing really horrible about it. It's just, it's definitely one of the weaker entries. What say you, Kruger?
Man, you know, even though I did shit on it a bit, I gotta say that fucking spine out the mouth kill.
Yeah.
Like, that's what saves it for me. It's a 3.5.
Right on. Cool. What say you, Pugs?
I'm going 2.
Okay. And Todd?
I'm exactly the same at a 2. Just a little below average.
Cool. All right. That's Valerie on the stairs. I'm excited to talk about the next one, which we'll get right into. And this one is Right to Die, directed by Rob Schmidt. And this one follows a man and his wife are involved in a fiery car wreck, leaving the wife hideously burned, but her charred spirit seeks vengeance on those who profit from her misery. All right. So, Right to Die. This had a lot going for it. It kind of, I want to say the Terry Schiavo case, which is obviously partially inspired by this. There's a couple other cases around the time on, you know, basically pulling the plug in the news. So it's a pretty good parody of just like all of these warring factions in situations like this, surrounded by what's a pretty simple ghost story, revenge sort of flick. Martin Donovan is a fantastic a-hole. Corbin Burnson is an even more fantastic a-hole. This one's fun. It's also got Robin Sidney. Never going to complain about that. What did you think, Kruger? First time watch.
Yeah, so that opening, man, I thought it was, you know, pretty disturbing and fucked up. And then, like you guys already said before, I'm a huge Dentist fan. I think Dentist is one of the most underrated slasher series ever.
Yeah.
To be honest. I just, as a kid, those movies fucked me up because, I mean, who the fuck wasn't scared to go to the dentist at some point in their life? So I love, you know, Corbin Benson. I think he's a fucking phenomenal actor.
Burnson,
Very, very underrated. There was great makeup on Abby. I loved her skin, body looked disgusting. As a guy, I'm not really a fan of ghost stories and hauntings and stuff. Like, I'm not a big paranormal guy, unless it, you know, has to involve demons and stuff. So, like, I'm not a big ghost story guy. And this is a very, very cool one. Maybe one of my favorites ever, to be honest. So, yeah, great effects, great gore, solid kills, a couple decent twists and turns I didn't see coming, and definitely above average.
I liked, I mean, it's got shades of Patrick, the great Aussie horror flick. I also love the Hellraiser 2 Julia moment. Yes. With the crawling towards. What did you think, Pugs?
Well, no, yes to that, because that's the same vibe I got. Dan, you're going to get defensive in a little bit, but we're not going to start there yet.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like the story a lot. This dude had a stressful time trying to like figure out what he's doing, what story he's telling, or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he has this side piece that's like making him feel a little better, but it's still shitty. And like, yeah, it's just very stressful situation, and it's a very fucked up situation. And at the end, you find out he Patton Oswald this fucking bitch.
Allegedly, that's your theory.
Uh-huh. So in the future, you'll know. But so yeah, after he Patton Oswalt's her, and then the next step is the reveal of turns out like, oh, it's kind of like a haunting thing, and then like he looks like he's gonna be stuck in purgatory or something like at the end because like she's there. It's fucking cool, and it's a thinker, and it's gross and painful looking. Like those burns are fucking gnarly.
Yeah,
and that magnetic kill. Holy shit.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, I like this one a lot. Fuck Patton Oswalt.
I'm picturing him in the role now. Todd, what did you think?
Yeah, I remember liking it the first time, but I liked it a lot more this time. It's aged well. I know Dan already mentioned Robin Sidney. This is like one of her better roles. She can actually act when she doesn't have her handler there.
The Lost as well. Jack Ketchum's The Lost.
Yeah, another one. But yeah, so this is one of the stronger ones in season two. What did you think, Dan?
Well, I said what I think. I was passing it to you, Todd.
Okay.
I can comment on Robin Sidney's beautiful, luscious smile. That was awesome too. Oh, those were great. Those are fucking awesome. And it does. It gets pretty. This one was gorier than I remembered. I mean, I remembered obviously. You know, it centers on you know her being burned and everything. But there's I thought the body parts on the truck and everything. There's even like a tiny bit of humor in there too, very tiny and very dark, but it is there.
You know what? When she's standing straight up and they're like prodding her on that bed strap thing, fuck that! I don't want to be part of that. Just kill me.
Yeah.
With my right to die. Spoilers, please? I spoiled some shit. Go for it.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, you know, fucking the. Like you were talking about when they were like cleaning her wounds and shit, that was so like brutal as fuck. And I love the scene like when the husband like kind of changes his mind if he wants to keep, you know, the girl that he cheated on his wife with alive or not. And that her the skinning scene on her is fucking brutal as hell too. I like the symbolism behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, it gets pretty fucked up. But I did laugh when he's like stopping because the cars are coming and they just like go by. It's kind of like a oh shit. So let's go ahead and rate it. Kruger, what say you?
I'm a 4 out of 5. Definitely a really, really good ghost story, and I highly recommend it, especially if you're not into, you know, paranormal stuff.
What about you, Pugs?
4 out of 5 as well.
And Todd?
I'm actually a 4.5. It's another one of those cases too with this where the director, I was like, really, is he a master of horror? Wrong turn. But delivered a solid entry and shut me the fuck up, I guess.
Yeah, it's very well told. And I mean, I remember liking it back then, but I think it's actually 4.5 too. It's not like among my, it's not at the top of my favorites, but it's probably one of the better ones that maybe you didn't see or maybe you forgot about. Yeah, check it out. All right. So moving on to our last one for the evening, which this one comes from Tom Holland. And this one is We All Scream for Ice Cream. And this follows a group of young kids who tormented and accidentally killed an ice cream delivery man when they were younger and are revisited by his vengeful spirit. All right. So I'm very disappointed in one thing, and it would have made it a lot creepier if William Forsythe were wearing his convention shorts as the clown.
I was going to say, finally a worse ice cream man than Dan. Stay away from the playground.
Thank you, Todd. Did you know I almost played a killer ice cream man in a music video, and it didn't happen?
I was going to say, did you know I was going to be an ice cream man growing up?
I was so hoping that. All I can picture now is Dan driving down the street with the ice cream truck.
Ice cream Dan.
Ice cream Dan. Okay, write that one down. Ice cream Dan.
I also want to say this is based on a John Ferris novel. So you've got a lot of masters on the literary side of it as well. What did you think, Kruger? What did you think of this one?
So I was really anticipating this episode because, excuse me, on the IMDb, this is what the picture is of this clown. And I'm a big Killer Clown fan. I love Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Art the Clown, It franchise, one of my favorite movies of all time. So I was anticipating this a lot. I thought the story was pretty decent. And I did like the design of the ice cream man, Buster. He was pretty cool. And like, I liked when he was all like frozen over, when he comes back from the dead and shit. There's some nasty gore effects that are really well done. Kind of reminded me of The Blob from 1980, where like people are like melting and shit. And there's a particularly like really nasty tub melting scene where this guy is like melting in the ice cream and his tongue is just fucking hanging out, like looking all nasty as hell. I love that effect. And I thought the kills were pretty decent, but there is this fucking bad CGI kill at the end. I was just like, what the fuck? Like, everything else was all practical, and then they had this one bad CGI kill at the end, you know, when Buster meets his demise. And that bothered the hell out of me. And that whole scene at the end, I think, like, the final showdown with him, I thought was kind of weak. There was, like, maybe one...
It did
one...
seem like they ran out of time and or money, but I feel you, Peter.
Yeah. It felt weak, but I did like this episode. Not my favorite by any means, but still fucking good. So
I actually thought the bully was borderline creepier than the clown, especially when
the clown wasn't supposed to be creepy.
Young and old.
Well, in the present day, I guess. But what did you think, Pugs?
When he went full crow? Yeah. the bully is probably the standout for me because I wanted to punch that kid so fucking hard. And then when he's adult talking about fucking I cornhole that kid. Oh my God. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You are a true piece of shit. And if he would have drowned him right there, I'm like, you know what? No one's around. Fuck this guy. But I'm glad he ended up melting and being a fucking delicious soup. I think William did a fucking fantastic job as a clown.
He did.
I want more of that shit. This did give me some It vibes, and that's not a bad thing. But then towards the end, what turned out to be kind of a bad thing because I wanted more It, more Pennywise. But
yeah, I wanted more of William Forsythe bringing the pain. Actually, this is another one. I mean, a lot of these are better off at the 50 to 60 minute range. But I don't know. I really would have liked to have just seen Forsythe getting a little more like hands on revenge and just like really.
Same, because I had a lot of sympathy for him because like all he was trying to do is make these kids happy and give them fucking ice cream, and then
yeah.
There's a few turds in the punch bowl, And like the way he goes out is fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what a group of piece of shit kids. How are you gonna commit a fucking murder? I'm sorry, but also, dude, that kid's kind of a dumbass. Like, well, your bully's gonna be like, hey, fucking yeah, go fucking, you know, kill this ice cream man. Yeah, I'm gonna go do that. Go fuck yourself.
Todd, you would have killed an ice cream man.
Well, sometimes you gotta fucking kill an ice cream man. I know what the it vibe, it kind of felt like, and I'm going to be very specific on which I'm talking about. Freddy's Nightmares, Nightmare on Elm Street, first episode, the origin story or the prequel, whatever you want to call it. It felt like a cross between that and it. That's what it felt like to me.
I dig it.
So,
yeah, it's I enjoyed this one. It's worth it for the performance. Lee Tergesen's always good.
Oz.
See, I was going to say collection. Weird Science, the television series, but that's what
nobody remembers the television series. Todd,
Dan's just mad because he doesn't own it all on DVD like me.
Fuck you, Todd.
Bitch.
The one thing he doesn't own.
I don't own everything.
Okay,
I don't.
He hasn't owned that or Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, because I'm a 34-year-old man, Todd. Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, okay. That's what's stopping you.
Okay, it'd be weird if you had Saved by the Bell, the new class, but...
Y'all mean snobs.
I do have a certain Dust and Diamond classic, though.
Oh, I bet you do. Is it signed?
So, it is not. Saved by the Smell, was it? Yeah. That one's, of course, 5 stars. But what do we rate We All Scream for Ice Cream? Kruger?
I'm a 3.5. Like I said, I liked it, but wasn't one of my favorite episodes, but solid entry.
Okay. What about you, Pugs?
I liked it a lot, actually, so I'm going to go 4.
Cool. How about you, Todd?
I'm a 3.5.
Okay. I'm a 3.5 as well, so we're fairly close.
Yeah,
very well worth it for the performance of William Forsythe. I think a little more Forsythe. And like I said, if he was in his, at some point, like chasing somebody in those fucking convention shorts, that would have been a 5.
That dude.
Well, kind of would have been cool, actually, now that I think about it, is if they would have went more Killer Clown vibe, like slasher style, that would have been pretty sick, actually. That may have made the story a little bit better. And just had the ice cream thing just be one of the kills rather than that be everybody's kill. That would have been, I think, the ways I would have improved upon it.
This one grew on me, actually, because I've never had that clown fear that like everybody seemed to have when they were kids. I just always found clowns to be stupid.
Ronald McDonald, dude. McDonald scared the fucking shit out of me. Really? You have no idea. First off, my dad worked at a McDonald's like his whole life. He was like always like corporate. And so I was around fucking Ronald McDonald. I don't know. Maybe one of them fucking touched me or something. I don't know. But it fucked me up until I was probably about 10 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, you know, Mac tonight, that one fucked me up. He made me uncomfortable. He's like Jay Leno, motherfucker. Fuck him.
All right. Well, never clowns for me. Never clowns. I don't know. I had a bit of a fear of birds, like flying like at you.
Birds,
it's weird.
Spaghetti. Fucking weirdo.
You like the birds?
Yeah, that one. No, it doesn't scare me in like a movie or anything, but like a bird like flying at you or something. I don't know.
Did that Fabio story fuck you up?
Probably. Well, as a kid, though, not as an adult.
This is totally like out of left field, but there is a movie. There's a scene, and I know you guys have seen a lot of movies, so now this is reminding me. This is the perfect time to ask you. There is a scene I saw when I was a kid, and it was a movie where a fucking bird, and I think it was green, and it was like a pet bird, went and like ripped somebody's eye out, and it fucking freaked me the fuck out. I don't know what movie it is, but I can never find it. I used to think it was The Birds, but it's not. It's straight up like you see it like come out of the cage and attack somebody and rip somebody's eye out. It's like really, it traumatized the fuck out of me, and it's why I hate birds.
I'll work on figuring it out because there's a handful of things that could possibly be, but
If you guys know it, comment down below because we should review that.
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing comes to mind for me.
So anyways, guys, we hope you're having a freaking awesome Halloween season. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube. That really, really helps us. Support us on all the social media bullshits, especially new now Slasher, which is our new one. See, I do things right, and then it pisses Todd off. I can't fucking
remember. No, that's
shut Pug the fuck up.
We delegated it to Pug, then you're stealing it because you're racist.
Yes. You know what? I was going to defend Dan, but yes.
That's fucked up.
Well, I was an intern in closing. Dan doesn't know how to fucking knock it home.
Dan's a goddamn cookie. I need
it. Dan's like the old vet holding on to that spot for his life.
Yeah, no shit.
I have a no loss contract. So.
All right, there you go, Pugs. Give us that at least.
Oh, please support us on Patreon. Please and thank you. Only a dollar, and you get exclusive stuff, early access. Yeah, and we got a lot of cool shit out there already, so just $1. Tip your waitress.
Listen to my horrible sex stories from high school.
Yeah.
All right, you can talk, Dan. You're not muted anymore.
Okay. Did I tell any sex stories on there? I don't know if I did.
Oh, God, no.
It's coming. It's coming.
That's what he said to Dan.
I'm gonna say.